Let me get into the Word today. There's really two messages I have today, but I'm gonna give you both of them. Are you ready? I'm going to divide it. You're going to know this is message one and this is message two. First message is this: the life of a believer lived out. That's message one today. We need to honor God with a lifestyle that is different from the world. Thank you, sweetheart. We need to honor God with a lifestyle that is different from the world. Amen. We need to. That's going to be the first message. Second message is the life of a believer sold out. Do you know you've been saved? You have been redeemed. It's His work, not our work. And we need to sell out to God. We need to surrender our lives. We need to give everything to Him. So we need to be sold out. Message number one. Let me get started by just starting from last week. Last week we talked about prayer. You've heard a lot about prayer. Prayer is important. It is our communication to God. But with that prayer comes a relationship. When you start talking to Him, you begin to have a relationship with Him. Along with that relationship, He speaks back into our lives because He wants us to have a different lifestyle. God wants to speak into us. Let me read our text for this morning, picking up with the verses from last week, starting chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. So that, we pray, we want this to happen, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power. How many would like to be strengthened? How many would like to be strengthened with all power? Why? According to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. Heavenly Father, we just ask you today to help us begin to live this life that pleases you, Lord, that is worthy of your name. Lord, we can't do it in our own strength, but with your strength, we can. So we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in this passage, gives us some ideas of what a life that pleases God looks like. In fact, there are four characteristics, beginning with a participle. As these are the four. Ready? Bearing, growing, being, and giving. Here's the first one, bearing. Bearing fruit, he says. Listen, if you went out and purchased a fruit tree, you planted that tree, and you took care of it, you would expect to get fruit from it in a matter of a few years. If you put that much work into it, you would expect that thing to bear fruit. I planted a little orange seed when I was a kid. After 3 years, it was this tall. I wanted it to bear an orange. It never did. But that's what we would expect. Much like that, God desires that after He has planted His Word in our hearts, that we would bear fruit. Paul addresses this bearing of fruit in Galatians chapter 5. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, say it with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The person who is living to please God will begin to see a change in their life. Their behavior, their surrender to God begins to bear fruit. Those who used to hate now love. Those who used to be angry find joy. Those who were flustered with life find peace. Those who worry and fret, they have patience, etc., etc. All the fruit begins to bear itself out. You get the picture? Our life is changed. How will that change happen? Jesus tells us it is one of His last discourse with the disciples. He's teaching them, telling them in John chapter 15. And listen to what He says. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you hear what's really being said? I don't go out and bear fruit. I can do nothing on my own. But I seek to draw closer to him. I get myself in the vine, and the fruit comes from him. It's not a matter of me trying harder. It's me drawing closer. So as a believer, we bear fruit. Number two, not only bear fruit, but we grow. We grow in the knowledge of God. In our lives, we need to continue to seek God. Growing in the knowledge of God, though, is not the same. Listen. Growing in the knowledge of God is not the same in growing in knowledge about God. You can spend all your time trying to master information about God and not really have a relationship with him. There is a danger when we substitute facts for our relationship. The life that pleases God yearns to know him, desires to know more about God so I can know God in a relationship. This kind of person opens up the Word of God, and they don't look just for factual information, but they want to discern the heart of God. I'm looking for direction, not information. I want to hear what I need, where I need to go. We get careful about seeking truth. Listen, when we go to the Word, we need to look at it seeking truth and not trying to find ammunition to defend my perception of God. There's a lot of people that use it, well, he says he's, because we get our own precepts, our own thoughts. Listen, you will never, ever fully know the mind of God. You can't. He's God. You're a peon. Church, if we don't wake up to that understanding, I am nothing without him. He is the vine. I'm a branch. Our lives need to grow in knowing the will of God and letting that will become part of our life. That's growing in the knowledge, knowing what he wants done. So we need to bear fruit, grow in the knowledge. Third, verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you have great endurance and patience. As believers, we learn how to endure troubled times and be patient with difficult people. Because we're strengthened by God. Do you know what the two issues of life are? Problems and people. That's it. That's all you have to deal with when you leave today. But if you're strengthened by God, he uses this, listen, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You can endure the problems. You can be patient with the people. God enables us to be able to do this by giving us the strength of his Holy Spirit and the promises of his word. He remains in us, and we need to remember a few things. Number one, he is always in control. God is always in control. There are no circumstances. There are no people who can overthrow his plan. Second thing, he never makes a mistake, church. He is perfect in all his ways. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Church, he never ever makes a mistake. Third, this world is not our home. Church, you have to remember that. We go to our homes and we get in them and we think this is all there is to life. No, life is God. He is eternal. I am in him. This is temporary. Keep that in mind. You're passing through. You're just a pilgrim. You're just going through life. And it's brief. It's not long, church. That's why I need to bear fruit. I don't know how many years I have. Don't let the world and the happenings of the world get you down. It's just temporary. So in the hard times, don't complain. Trust God. Don't despair. Hang on tighter. Why? Because you're being strengthened. I used to tell people, they would say, hang in there. I tell you, hang in there, but why don't you just swing and have a little fun while you're hanging? Enjoy life. Yeah, hang on, but he'll strengthen you through it. Bear fruit, grow in knowledge, be strengthened. And fourth, we are to be giving joyful thanks to the Father. As a believer, we're to live a life of gratitude. We got something to live out, church. Gratitude begins when we realize that I don't deserve the inheritance that I have. I'm not going to inherit anything from my parents. They've sold their home. They kind of already kind of given out and dispersed everything. There's nothing left. But I don't need a natural inheritance. I need an eternal inheritance. Because this is temporal, church. Listen, I got to be joyful. I need to spend every waking moment joyful, thankful that by His grace and by His Spirit in me, He saved me, He's redeemed me, and I'm glad about it. And that's why David writes, serve the Lord with gladness. It's gladness if you didn't know. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yeah, I got to go work in the nursery today. Got to work with those young people. I got to look at so-and-so. Church, I am glad, glad to serve the Lord. What a privilege. When was the last time you thanked God for the breath you just took? Do you realize all the involuntary things that God created in us? The lungs just breathe, the heart just beats. Oh God, thank you that I have another day. My heart continues to beat. I am your servant. I am your instrument. I am ready. I am thankful. I will serve you. When was the last time you thanked God for a blue sky? Oh, that's right. We hadn't seen one. I saw one last week. Me and my wife had the privilege. We were in Florida for a couple of days. Was that last week or 2 weeks now? I'm confused. 2 weeks ago. Wow. How time flies. But hey, I remember it, so that was good. But church, we forget. Listen, above all these clouds that you see today, God reigns. He rules. I don't care what it may look like on the surface. My God is over it all. Church, we just need to be thankful. When was the last time you thanked Him for His Word? Oh God, thank you for penning these words. Thanks for thinking about me 2,000 years down the road, that it would be preserved so I could read it. When was the last time you thanked Him for fellow believers in faith? God, thank you for Pastor Matt and Claire. Thank you as their fellow workers in the gospel with me. Be thankful. What about thanking Him for the music that just lifts your soul? When did you last thank Him for the home that you live in? When did you last thank Him for your family members, no matter what they've done to you? Thank you. You know what, God? Thank you for saving me and now putting me into their lives because nobody else is ministering to them. Church, we got to get God's perspective on this. Why? Because we got to live out. We got to live it out as believers. Message number two. Message one is done. You can forget it just like you do everything else, and we'll move on to message two. You know I'm kidding, right? Here it is. The life of a believer sold out. Do you know we need to be sold out because we have been bought out? We have been redeemed. When you go and redeem something at the store, you buy it, it becomes yours. It doesn't have a life of its own anymore. I've got to get to a place where I sell out. I surrender it all. Why? Because He bought me. He redeemed me. Listen to Colossians 1, 12 to 14. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Because there's two different things you need to understand. He's qualified you and He has rescued you. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now the statement in verse 12 that says, He who has qualified you to share in an inheritance. It is holy people in the kingdom of light. That is important, church. Couple of things you need to notice. First, this is something that God has done, not we. I haven't done anything to qualify. You know what? I used to run track in high school, and I had to qualify to run the race. Listen, Jesus has qualified you to run in this race. See, that's the fruit bearing. That's the growing. That's the strength. That's all of those things that he puts in us so that we can do what he's wanting us to do. He did all the qualifying. I remind you again because I want you to be clear on this. I want you to know who you are. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, right? We all fall short of the glory of God. He doesn't say all the really bad people. It's just the bad people who fall short. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have messed up. And this is where we need God's act of qualifying us, and that's where it comes in. We can't help ourselves. Romans 5, Paul tells us this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still, what? Powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He came, he rescued, he qualified us. He was our substitute. He paid for our sin. He traded our sin for his goodness. And that's how we got qualified. Well, by all means, if I'm qualified, I need to sell out to the coach and listen to him. Second thing you need to notice is where we used to live. We were a part of the dominion of darkness. Like it or not, you were part of the dominion of darkness. Listen to verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We now, church, as believers, no longer live in the kingdom of the enemy. We live in the kingdom of the Son of God, who has redeemed us, forgiven us. Listen to Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I mean, wouldn't you like to believe that your sin and all your failures are forgiven? I mean, we like that. And if that were true, how should you live? Wouldn't we have a little more life in our step, a little more joy in our hearts? Well, you need to know this morning, it's true. For everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross for our lives, we are forgiven. The Father moves us from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But we have to realize you live in one kingdom or the other. You're either serving the Lord or the devil. There are only two masters, and you serve one of them. There's only two choices. Which kingdom are you in? Before you make that decision, let me remind you of this. Our salvation, if we're going to live in his kingdom, is dependent on him. His qualifying, his rescuing. Unfortunately, every one of us are addicts. We're addicts to sin. In fact, we get so used to sinning, we don't even realize we're doing it at times. Then the Holy Spirit speaks to our lives. Many have become so good at excusing it and covering it up, they don't even see the sin problem anymore. Listen, our only hope is to be rescued by God, for him to come and to break the power that we can't break ourselves. And that's what he did at the cross. And now he offers you and me this forgiveness, this new life, this freedom. And he wants to give you status as a child of God. The question boils down, do you want to be saved? The work has been done. The cross has taken place. He makes intercession. The Holy Spirit is moving on your heart and your life. Do you want to be saved? He's rescued everyone who is called upon His name. All you have to do is come to the Father and say, Father, I've sinned. Listen to 1 John 1:9. It was one of our memory verses, if you remember. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But will we surrender to Him? Would you bow your heads? This morning, let me make it brief and to the point. Church, you have a decision to make. Whether or not, which kingdom you want to be in. So I'm going to ask you very briefly, with heads bowed, because this is between you and God. Because listen, otherwise you sit here and people look around, and the enemy will use condemnation. And that's why I do it this way. Because I don't want anybody to feel condemned. He's come to save you, not condemn you. And church, it's your decision today. You will make a choice which kingdom you want to live in. But I'm asking you, if you want to choose to believe, be a believer and trust what He did, then you know what? Live it out and be sold out to Him.